I want you to take a second and listen to that sound coming from the corner of the room. It is not the smooth, consistent hum it used to be. Instead, there is a rhythmic ticking, or maybe a slight groan every time the blades reach a certain speed. Most people would look at that fan and assume its days are numbered, heading straight for a landfill while they drive to the store for a plastic replacement. But you and I know better than that. That sound is not a death rattle. It is a cry for a little bit of maintenance. When a motor starts to struggle, it is usually because the factory grease has turned into a sticky paste or the bearings are choked with a decade of household dust. Taking the time to open it up and bring it back to life is about more than just saving $20. It is about the satisfaction of hearing that motor sigh back into a silent, effortless glide because you knew exactly where to drop the oil. Before we even lay a finger on the housing, we have to talk about the most important step in any electrical job. I have seen folks try to live dangerously by just clicking the toggle switch to the off position. But that is a gamble I never take. I always trace the cord back to the wall and physically pull the plug. If I am working on a ceiling fan, I go straight to the breaker panel and flip the switch so there is no chance of a stray current finding its way to my fingers. There is a specific kind of peace of mind that comes from knowing the machine is truly dead before you start performing surgery on it. I learned that lesson the hard way years ago with an old box fan I found in my grandfather's garage. I was young and impatient, thinking I could just spray some cleaner through the grate while it was still spinning slowly. I thought I was being efficient. What actually happened was the straw on the spray can got nipped by the blade, kicked back, and sprayed degreaser right into my eyes while the motor sparked and let out a puff of blue smoke. I spent the next 20 minutes flushing my face over a sink and the rest of the afternoon staring at a ruined motor. It taught me that speed is the enemy of good craftsmanship. Now, I take my time. I clear off a wide, flat workspace, usually a sturdy workbench or even the kitchen table with a heavy towel laid down to catch any stray drips of oil. Once the power is killed, the first thing we need to do is get those guards off. Most modern fans have simple plastic clips around the rim, while the older, sturdier ones might have small screws holding the metal cage together. As I work my way around, I pay attention to the tension. If a clip feels brittle, I don't force it. I use a small flathead screwdriver to gently pry it back. Once the front cage is off, the blades are usually held on by a central nut. You have to remember that many of these are reverse threaded. If you try to turn it to the left and it feels like it is locking up, try turning it to the right. It feels counterintuitive at first, but it is designed that way so the rotation of the fan doesn't unscrew the nut while it's running. When that nut comes off, the blade assembly should slide right off the spindle. This is where you'll see the real culprit. There is usually a thick carpet of gray lint packed into the nooks and crannies of the motor housing. Before we touch the oil, we have to get rid of that grit. If we put oil on top of dust, we are just making a grinding paste that will wear out the metal faster. I like to use a vacuum with a brush attachment to suck out the heavy stuff, followed by a few targeted blasts of compressed air. You'll see clouds of dust puffing out from the copper windings inside. We keep going until the metal looks like metal again. If there is stubborn, oily grime on the outside of the motor case, I wipe it down with a damp rag, being very careful not to let any water drip into the electrical components. Now we are looking at the heart of the machine, which is the rotor shaft and the bearings. On most household fans, these aren't ball bearings like you'd find on a car. They are sleeve bearings, which are basically just smooth metal tubes that the shaft spins inside of. Over time, the oil that keeps them slippery dries up. To fix this, we need the right lubricant.
I never reach for the multi-purpose spray lubricants that most people keep under the sink. Those are great for loosening a rusty bolt, but they evaporate too quickly for a high-speed motor.
I prefer a dedicated non-detergent electric motor oil. Something thin enough to seep into the tight spaces, but heavy enough to stay there for a year of heavy use.
I start by holding the motor upright, so the shaft is pointing toward the ceiling.
I place two or three drops right where the silver rod disappears into the motor housing.
You don't need a puddle. You just need enough to create a seal.
Once the drops are on there, I grab the shaft with my fingers and start spinning it manually.
At first, you might feel a bit of resistance or a gritty sensation.
I keep spinning it, pulling the shaft up, and pushing it down just a fraction of an inch to help that oil work its way deep into the sleeve.
After a minute of this, you will feel the change.
The resistance melts away, and the shaft starts to spin with a buttery smoothness.
If it's an older fan with an oil port, usually a tiny hole marked with a circular indentation, I flip it over and repeat the process for the rear bearing.
You might be thinking that more oil is better, but I'll tell you why that's a mistake. Excess oil has a habit of migrating. If it drips onto the copper windings or the plastic parts of the housing, it acts like a magnet for new dust.
Within a month, you'd have a gummy mess that's worse than what you started with.
If I see any oil weeping out from the edges after I've spun the shaft, I take a clean paper towel and wipe it bone dry.
We want the lubrication inside the bearing, not on the surface.
With the motor spinning freely by hand,
it's time to put the puzzle back together.
I slide the rear guard back onto the motor face, making sure the notches line up perfectly.
If it's seated crooked, the blades will wobble, and we'll be right back to hearing those annoying vibrations.
I tighten the plastic nut that holds the rear guard,
then slide the blade assembly back onto the spindle.
I give it one more spin with my hand, just to make sure nothing is rubbing against the cage.
There is a specific sound a well-balanced fan makes when you spin it by hand.
A soft, rushing whir of air without any metallic scraping.
If I hear even a tiny click, I take the blade off and reseat it.
Once the front cage is clipped back into place, I take a look at the whole unit.
It looks cleaner, sure, but the real test is the vibration.
I carry the fan back to its spot, plug it in, and reach for the switch.
I don't go straight to high speed. I start on low.
I want to hear the motor pick up momentum.
What I'm listening for is that instant, silent engagement.
Instead of the old groan and the slow struggle to get moving, the blades should bite into the air immediately.
As I move the dial to medium and then high, I put my hand on the top of the housing.
I'm looking for a steady, calm hum.
If the table isn't vibrating, and the only thing I can hear is the wind moving across the room, I know the job is done.
There is a real sense of pride in taking a piece of equipment that was headed for the bin and making it run like new again.
It reminds us that we are the masters of the things we own, not just consumers waiting for the next delivery.
You've given that motor another few thousand hours of life, and all it took was a little bit of patience and a few drops of oil.
Now, go ahead and sit back, feel that breeze, and enjoy the silence you earned.